the first book of Kings. And let's read from over in the 8th chapter and see if the Lord will give us a thought here. We'll read quite a bit here. Let's just begin at the first verse. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribe, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month Ethanim, which is the 7th month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord in the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priest brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staff thereof above. And they drew out the staff, that the end of the staff were seen out in the holy place before the oracles, and they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tables of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said, that he would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee an house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide for in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hand fulfilled it, saying, Since the day that I brought forth my people Israel out of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build an house, that my name might be therein. But I chose David to be over my people Israel. And it was in the heart of David my father to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build an house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins. He shall build the house unto my name. And the Lord hath performed his word that he spake, and I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And I have set there a place for the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord, which he made with our fathers when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward heaven. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepeth covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David thy father that thou promisest him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth, and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Therefore now, Lord God of Israel, keep thy servant David my father that thou promisest him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as thou hast walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which thou spakest unto thy servant David my father. That's reading down to the 26th verse. I want you to notice in the 27th verse here, the Lord speaking, and this is Solomon that's doing the talking, and he's speaking about David, his father. Solomon is speaking about David, his father. And here Solomon is calling to remembrance the things that God said unto David, his father. God had told David to gather together much gold and much silver to build the house of the Lord. He told him, as he went out to battle and he defeated the alien powers, that he was to take the gold and all the silver, and he was to heap it together, that in time to come he would build the house of God. Now when the Lord delivered Israel out of Egypt, he did the very same thing in the days of Moses. He said to Moses and to the people, I will give you favor with the Egyptians, and you take what the Egyptians give you when they give you their silver and their gold, and you build the house of God with what the Egyptians give you. And so it was the same thing here. David gathered together all the treasures of the heathens. And you say, Brother Pike, do you believe that all the treasures of the heathens was to build the house of God with it? God would accept that kind of thing? The Bible said, all the gold is mine, saith the Lord. All the silver is mine, saith the Lord. They had taken that which belonged to God. And God said, David, you take it all together and build the house of the Lord. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. God has told you that he would give you favor with the world. Men like Mr. Funderburk, brother, and showed in a vision we'd have favor with him. God would give us favor with men such as Zell has to do with, and Gene has to do with, and Frank has to do with, and all the others. God promised to give us favor with those people that we might gather together the things that God had out there to build the house of the Lord with. But when people see these things, they don't want to build the house of God with it. They want to take this substance and build them a home with it. Bible said every man runs to his own house and the house of God lays waste. So they take the substance of the Lord, Dad, and they do the very same thing that they done down there in Israel or in Egypt when they got the silver and they got the gold and then they got out into the wilderness. They failed to give it to the ministry to build the house of God with. And what did they do? The Bible said they made them necklaces out of it. They made them golden earrings out of it. They made them golden calves out of it. And their God became their belly. And they began to worship the gold and silver and the treasures that they got out of Egypt. And the wrath of God was released from heaven and God destroyed thousands of them. I want you to know something. The Bible said God has given travail unto the wicked, that they might heap together treasures that the righteous might enjoy them. And so it is God is letting them gather together treasures that at the time of our deliverance in coming out of Egypt, that we might gather together the silver and the gold and the treasures and come together and build the house of the Lord, which means publish the gospel and build up the liveliest stones into a holy priesthood across the world, a habitation for God who is a spirit. I don't mean a natural building. It takes natural buildings to spread the gospel, but I mean in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many brothers in Christ has let their companions overrule them, and they've bought motorcycles, they've bought homes, and they've bought cars, and they've bought boats, and they bought all kinds of clothing and everything else and failed to support the work of God. And in the day of judgment, they're going to answer to God part, and the wife is going to answer with them in the day of judgment. This is the word of the Lord. You're going to do it. Why? Because God gave your supernatural intelligence that you might heap together those treasures when other people couldn't do it, that you might give unto the Lord thy God. You say, Brother Pike, but I give. The Bible said, to whom much is given, much is required. If God gives you a lot, God's going to require a lot out of you. You might like to go over to the Monteses. You might like to go over here to the clothing store. You might like to go yonder. You might like to buy clothes for your children. I said this, and I still stand by it. Just so sure as you buy two pair of shoes for your little children and let the heathens go hungry over yonder or go without shoes and without clothes, you're going to lose that little child one way or another. Something is going to happen to that child because you esteem him above the word of the Lord. You give to your children. You lay the work of the Lord aside. And you lift up your children, but you watch and see if something don't happen to them down the road because you esteem them above the word of the Lord. You might not like what this old bald-headed preacher says. You might not like the way that I say it. But I'll tell you one thing. When these things start happening in your home, you're going to have a respect for what I told you, and you're going to believe it. And ain't nobody going to have to make you believe it either, because it'll sure happen. Now then, you've got to be willing to go over snowy roads. You've got to be willing to go over the mountains. There's been times when God in heaven would tell me, George Pike, you rise up from this sunny spot and you go north, and the reports would come out over the radio. The patrol would say, don't come in this direction. It's detrimental to your life. You can't cross these roads up in here. You'll be snowbound. Don't come in this direction. But the Lord would say, go in that direction. A lot of people feel like God say, go to Florida when it's snowing over here, somewhere in Colorado, and go to Colorado when it's too hot in Florida. But God doesn't work like that. God doesn't work like that. Wherever the cross is, that's where he'll usually lead you as a route. Many times I've seen things happen, folks. I've been going up the mountains, up a snake mountain. I've seen it happen a number of times when I'd almost lose my life, and I can recall times when I'd be going up the mountain, and the mountain would be covered with snow, and I knew before I ever hit the mountain that it was covered with snow, I knew it was impossible for me to get up it unless God helped me. I didn't have any chains to throw in my car. I didn't have good tires, had old bald tires, and the snow and the ice maybe already seeded, but I still had to go up the mountain. I've seen my little children cry, sit and cry in the car and say, Daddy, we'll never make it. God, if God don't do something, Daddy, this is the end. And I've seen my car slide until it slide all the way back to the edge of the mountain at a deep ravine and ready to pitch over. I've seen it happen, and still the angel of the Lord would come and take hold and lead us out of it, because God intends for us to go in the direction that he tells us to go in. It doesn't matter what kind of hardships it is. It doesn't matter what we encounter. We've got to go the way that God tells us to go. We've got to do it. Not one time have we done it. Not two times have we done it. Not 10 times have we done it. Not 50 times have we done it. But we've done it so many times, doing these things until I can't number them. Why? Because Jesus said, do it. Therefore, if I waste the substance of God, if I don't cast down my imagination, bring every thought into subjection to Christ, then I lose out with the Lord. If I can't obey God and redeem the time, for the days are evil, then I disobey the Lord. If I just stand up from pillar to post and just don't do nothing and have no outlook for God and no concern about God and not caring about the kingdom of God, then I'll be lost. If I can't fast, and if I can't pray, and if I can't deny my wife when she's breathing down my collar, if I've got to go over there and be somebody that's got to compromise with her, and every time she breathes down my collar about something I don't like, I say, that's all right, honey, here's 50. Take 50 and let me go. Why, any wife would do that, you wretch. I said, you wretch. Breathe down a man's collar and take everything that he's got. It's no wonder the Bible said you're wretched and miserable and blind. That's what the Bible calls you, the wretch. You take a man and do him that way when he's responsible to God. Someday you'll look on the face of your dead child. Someday you'll look at his face when he's turned out to be a whoremonger. Someday there'll be something that'll happen and you would give your whole entire life if you could go back and recall that thing and get straightened out. You say this won't happen. Yes, it will happen. Yes, it will happen. It's happening every day. So then the Lord said to Solomon, said, Solomon, thy father David, that I called him to build the house of God, but I could not let him build the house of the Lord. Brother Tom, he had too much blood on his hands. He had to dip his sword in blood too much, Dad. He had to fight his way through in this area for about 6 years. I've had to fight my way through here. Fight my way through. And some of you that sit out there have withstood me in the gospel. I've had to use the sword. Had to use it in the community. Had to use it in the church. Had to use it abroad wherever I went. Why? Because of the evil spirits and the evil powers of darkness that tried to overthrow the kingdom of God. But I'll tell you what. When you oppose God, you'll reap a reward of iniquity, friend. You'll reap a reward of heartaches. You'll reap a reward of sorrow. And someday down the line somewhere, you'll stop and you'll think. And you'll say, my God, what a fool I was. Job could see this when he looked at his wife and said, you talk like a foolish woman. He visualized this. He seen this. When David got out to dance before the Ark of the Covenant and left his wife up in the window and got out there before the Ark of the Covenant and he danced with all of his might, his wife, she come over and she looked out the window. She looked down there where he was and said, don't he think he's something down there dancing before his handmaid? God looked down from the windows of heaven, knew the integrity of David's heart, knew that he was trying to do something for the Lord. God put that woman away and that king never did see her no more. And I'll tell you something, brother, sister, you rise up. You rise up. You men rise up and God can take you away from your wife and you won't never see her no more. Wife, you rise up against a husband. God can take the husband away from you and you won't never see him no more. You say, I don't believe it. The Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. All God's got to do is pull a little string and he'll be gone. And you'll be sitting over there wondering what's going on. You can't play with the Lord, folks. You can't play with the Lord. Solomon said the beginning of wisdom is to have the fear of God. The Bible said to reverence my sanctuary. How can we reverence the sanctuary of the Lord? I brought it out here a while back. The Bible said there are many sickly among you. There are many folks that sickly among you. Many people are sickly among you, the Bible said. And many of them are dead. Many of them dead, not only spiritually, but some of them naturally. Many of you are dead. He said many of them among you are asleep. Sleep. Some of them are actually planted out in the ground. Why? He said, because they fail to discern the body of God in the earth. They spoke against the body of God in the earth. They lifted up their voice. They didn't receive the correction from the voice of God in the earth. They treated him just like he was nothing when he came into his temple. And when he spoke to them, they didn't reverence it like some back in the Old Testament. They came into the house of God and the priests run out there and throw up their hands and said, oh my God, don't come in here. That this is the holy place and you can't come in here. They just pushed him aside. Big deals, a king, you know. Oh, we can do it. I warned some men right here at this very place that had thousands and thousands and multiplied thousands of dollars where God had blessed them and raised them up. I said, you leave the word of God alone. I said, just because God's raised you up financially, that don't give you a right to touch the covenant of God. And add to it and take away from it and do what you want to and holler, I'm called to preach. And I said, someday you're going to reap a reward of iniquity. They did it. They did it not only here, but in another place. I recall a man that's one of the finest men that I know. And I stood and I told him, I said, you leave the covenant of the Lord alone. Oh, it was a big feller, had lots of money, good income. Didn't have to listen to the preacher. Didn't have to listen to the priesthood.
I said, but leave it alone. I said, this is God. Don't mess with it. But he thought he could. Wasn't long before fire broke out and almost ruined him. Wasn't long before his wife had to go to the hospital, be cut on. Wasn't long before she lost a child. I know people lose children. I know the devil jumps on children. They jump on yours and they jump on mine and they'll still jump on them. But I'm going to tell you, there's sometimes when the devil gets on them because we give place to the devil. And I want you to know that this man, by the time he almost got burnt out, and this preacher right here, the witness, he stood in there. He knows what I'm talking about. He saw it with his own eyes. And this man come to me and he said, I'll tell you one thing, Brother Pike. He said, I've learned that there is a difference. He said, we all might be a man. We all might be successful in that kind of thing, according to what he said. He said, but I want to tell you one thing. He said, the anointing makes the difference. He said, when you get into the pulpit, it makes a difference whether you're called for that job or not. And I want to tell you something, folks. God said, reverence my sanctuary. Well, I stand up here and I tell you to stop your youngins from wearing shorts and culottes and sleeves plucked out for the roots. And I tell you that your wife must be faithful in all things to be able to keep your post of duty. Then I come to your church and your wife is not faithful, but she's got all kind of evil spirits on her, and your children won't even do right, won't even come to church, let alone obey you. And then I stand up here and tell you those things, and you go right on taking a part in the kingdom of God. I want you to know you're headed for trouble. You're headed for trouble. You say, but I'm somebody special in the sight of God, and God understands my problem. You're not special in the sight of God. God doesn't understand your problem. God doesn't care about your problem. When you cross the Word of God, you're going to meet God face to face, and that's without respect of person. You mark that. We've got to reverence the sanctuary of the Lord. We've got to hallow the sanctuary of the Lord, folks. We've got to come here with a reverence. We've got to come here with a respect. We've got to come here and break the Holy Spirit. We've got to be broken and melted down before the Lord God of heaven. We've got to obey what the minister says. That king will put you away and you'll never feel his spirit no more. David put that woman away. She mocked. She mocked. God is not mocked, folks. He'll put you away and he'll never come into you no more. So then, what have we done? Wasted the substance of God, whether it be the life that he's placed within the body, whether it be the youth that he's placed within the body, wasted the substance of God, whether it be the money that he's placed in our hands. If a man has the ability to make money, then that ability is of God. Can anybody deny that? God raises up one and puts down another. Is that Bible? God holds the king's heart in his hand, Brother Taylor. He turns it whithersoever he will, like the rivers of waters. If you find favor with a rich man, you better be sure of one thing. You don't lift yourself up and say, brother, it's just that certain something in me. I know a feller, God raised him up just like he did David from on the hillside over there. I know this man didn't have nothing. God raised him up, and one day he looked at me rubbing elbows with the banker. I know this for a fact. I was sitting present when some of these things transpired, and he thought he knew things pretty good. I want you to let this soak in. Every one of you, listen to me this morning. He thought he was doing pretty good. He could pull a string over here and a string over here. And I've seen him go to the bank with thousands of dollars at one time. A common man to put it into his bank account at one time. And I believe he told me that some weeks he was running on an average of $1,500 a week, I believe he said. That's a lot of money, and don't you think it ain't a lot of money? He said, well, I don't know about that. I got reasons to know that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. When you start taking $1,500 a week to your own account, you can rest assured of one thing. You're in the chips, as the world says. But you know what? One day with a toothpick in his mouth and rubbing elbows, and I said, brother, give glory to God. Give glory to God. I said, he raised you up when you didn't have nothing. Well, boy, I can do anything I want to. I done gotten the place I do what I want to. Said, but he never did answer me concerning the thing I told him to give glory to God. He never did come down the line with the sweet, humble spirit that he had when God raised him up out there when he wasn't anything. He didn't do that. I told my wife, I said, he's on his way down. He went slap down to rock bottom. Now, if it had been him, if it had been his brilliant mind, if it had been his personality under success, where is his personality? Where is his brilliant mind? Why isn't he doing the same thing today? Come on, folks. Why isn't he doing it? You see, you're not smart. He's smart. He's smart. Daniel said to us, dead belongs confusion of faces. That's all it belongs to us, just confusion. We don't know nothing. But he knows everything. Hallelujah! I can feel the Holy Ghost saying, amen, preacher, that's right. Hallelujah! Glory to God. God said it. That makes it right. It's right. Every man has to say amen. The Bible said, and let them all say amen. Amen means so be it. So be it. Why do the sorrows come? I made the statement yesterday, said when you see all of these things, this is the beginning of sorrows. Folks, we've done come to the age to where it's the beginning of sorrows. Sorrow in Brother Ernie's home. Sorrow in Tommy's life. Sorrow in Brother Al's life. Sorrow in Brother Gene's life. Sorrow in Brother Sale's life. Brother Frank's life. Dad's life. My life. Brother Beretta's life. Sorrow in Brother Beach's life. Sorrow in Brother Junior's life. Sorrow in Brother Delmer's life. Sorrow in Brother Greatest's life. Sorrow in Brother Franklin's life. The beginning of sorrows. Everywhere there's sorrows, there's wrecks, there's insanity, there's perplexities. These are the beginning of sorrows. Just the beginning of sorrows. What's the matter? I sat up yonder at the hospital yesterday, I believe it was, we went to see about elders. I tell you, folks, I don't believe in pulling punches. I used to box, and when I boxed, I didn't believe in pulling punches, and I still don't in the spiritual realms. And I told them face to face, just like it was at the hospital. When the devil gets after you, he don't stop till he gets you. Ain't but one way you can stop him, Brother Ernie. That's to take the shield of faith and quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. How can you have faith? The Bible said faith worketh by love. Is that right? What is love? Jesus said the love of God is to keep my commandments. That's the love of God. All this other junk ain't nothing. What is the love of God? When you walk in the ordinance of the Lord, when you obey the scriptures, you got the love of God, the love of the Word. That's the love of God. The rest of it's a bunch of junk. You say, ain't you afraid to talk like that? I use this kind of terminology so you'll know I mean what I say. I could say, well, that other ain't nothing. It might not be strong enough. But it's less than nothing. It's a bunch of junk. But I tell you, let it be known that Brother Pike means what he says. When I say it, I mean it. It's a bunch of junk. Like I said the other night, we got a bunch of jumping jennies across the world. That's right. You know what a jenny is? A hard-headed, rebellious thing, it won't do nothing, just jump and kick and do like it wants to. That's right. And that's what we got in the world today, a bunch of jumping jennies. That's right. I know we got some people that shout of the anointing. I know we got some people that praise God. I know we got some people that speak in tongues. But I know some people that shout when they're rotten to the core. Why are people dead today? Why do we have some dead? Because they won't reverence the sanctuary of the Lord. The Bible said they come to the supper of the Lord and they partake unworthily. I said this a while back, unworthy, unworthily. The Bible didn't say unworthy. It didn't say unworthy. We are worthy by the blood of Jesus. We are worthy by the blood of Jesus. But it said unworthily, which means without deep concern, without consideration. Coming half-hearted, take what you want of it, leave the other, lay the other aside. Because you eat of it unworthily, the Bible said these plagues come on you. These things, well, we'll go to church, it don't matter. We get there at 9 o'clock, and we might go Wednesday, we might take Sunday off. After all, that's partaking of the Word of God unworthily. unworthily, folks. Come and listen to what you want to, and if it gets a little sharp for you, just rise up in your spirit and rebel, or you get up and walk out. That's unworthily. The Bible said these things will happen to you because of that. Now, what is it? What is it? Partaking of the supper of the Lord. Why did Judas lose out? Tell me, why did he lose out? Because he partook unworthily. Unworthily. I believe God made him just as worthy as anybody else. The Bible said he was numbered with us. Is that right? He obtained part of this ministry. Was that right? He was worthy just like the rest of them. The blood atoned for him too. Dad, God, no respect to person. But unworthily, Judas came and sat with the disciples just like Ananias and Sapphira and held back a part of the price that was supposed to go to God and to the church to build the house of the living God. And they held it back and they wanted the same portion that the rest of them got. You can't do it. You can't do it. I can't do it and you can't do it either. What God is giving you, friend, you listen to me, whether it's strength, whether it's health, whether it's peace and joy to share with somebody else, whether, as Sister Beachy does, if it's a hand to sow with, whatever it is, as Dorcas did, it makes no difference. You do it for God. You give your treasure, you give your substance, you give your life, you give your diligence, and come to the house of God. And wives, you listen to me. If your husband stays over here till 4 o'clock in the morning, don't you say nothing to him. As long as he's trying to do something for God and trying to carry on the work of God, you remember that you're better off than another sister that's been warned so many times over here whose husband wasn't over here. She kept him away from us. I personally know that she did. I tried to get her to let him come. She grumbled and she mumbled and she set a time on him. And you see what happened to him. Now she's got to live with it. Some of you others are going to do the same thing. You say, my husband would never do it. Bless your little heart. You let me tell you something. You don't get around the word of the Lord. He said, when you forget me, your wife will become a prostitute. He said, when you forget me, your husband will become a whoremonger. Fine, upright, man of integrity that nobody would even suspect such a thing. Listen to me, folks. I love you. That's why I speak to you like I do. If I get up here with a bunch of junk and tell you, brother, you got to love this brother, and God said, let us love each other. Take on with a bunch of junk. Like, let me tell you something. God did say, let us love each other. But he said, let us love each other in deed and not in word. You talk about having love and you let your next door neighbor starve to death. Won't even go witness to him. Won't even pass out a tract. Won't even testify. Won't even deny you barely to give a dollar to the work of God. You call that love? Your husband say something about taking a journey, taking a trip, missing a few days on the job for Christ, what do? Like an old wet hen. Says he's going to stay over a day or two over here in the sanctuary and pray, or come out here and be with the brethren, what do? I tell you, in the name of the Lord, you better get straight now. You better get straight now. Partaking unworthily of the things of the Lord, folks. I hope I haven't been too strong with you. I'm telling you the truth. A good, strong dose of medicine is what does you good. Sometimes you get hookworms in you. You can't just flush them out. It takes something to kill them and then let them go out. Hallelujah. It takes something, folks. I love our men. I believe we got the best men in the world. I believe that if I thought there's a bunch of hills, I'd take it. I don't believe we've lost none of them except the son of perdition, just like the scripture was said that the scripture might not be broken. They went out from us because they were never of us, and I believe this with my heart. If they had been of us, the Bible said they no doubt would have done what? Continued with us. So then, in finding a place to close this morning, appreciate your patience and kindness and love. I want to say this. I believe we've got some of the finest women that ever walked shoe leather. I believe our women is the very finest. But let me tell you something, folks. It doesn't matter how fine you are, you can let devils get a hold of you. Peter was the greatest leader that ever walked, but what happened to him? He got contrary to the gospel and Jesus rebuked him to his face, didn't he? Peter said, now wait a minute, Lord. Let me tell you something. When the Word says something, you don't say, now wait a minute, Lord. That was the Word speaking to him. When the Word says something, you don't say, wait a minute, Word, I believe you. No, sir, if the Word says it, it's got to be like that. If it cuts Brother Pike, it's still got to be like that. If it cuts Brother Ernie, it's still got to be like that. Is that right, Ernie? If it cuts Brother Taylor, it's still got to be like that. If it cuts Tom, it's got to be like that. Al, it's got to be like that. Zell, Gene, Frank, Brother Beachy, Dad, it's got to be like that. If it cuts your wives, your children, it's got to be like that. And I'll tell you what, if you don't say amen to it and let that Word cut you, it's a whole lot better when it starts cutting out the cancer. You might get sore. You might get hurt. It's a whole lot better when it cuts out the cancer and then later pours in some oil and wine than it is to let that old cancer keep eating out you under somewhere. God will look and see you contaminated and you won't listen to him. You're hard-headed and you're a disease and you're just going to contaminate the rest of the world. And he sends a man out there with a sword and he says, dip your sword in his blood and make it in now. Really hurt then. Really hurt. Oh my. I say in the name of the Lord Jesus this morning, if you could look around you folks and see the judgment of the Lord falling on people that's been warned. A man come the other day, Daddy, sat over in my house. He rebelled against me. Over yonder at Winchester, he had a devil about him. I told him he had a devil, always rebelling. Finally, he come and confessed he had a devil. You know when he come? Brother Taylor didn't know this. He come to Brother Taylor and confessed. Then he come to me. But you know why he come? A woman almost died. He confessed it to me the other day. That's right. That's right. He sat right there in my living room. And if I called his name, you'd know him. He sat right there in my living room and he confessed to me. He said, I'm going to tell you something, preacher. He said, I went almost too far. And the woman got me into her house. Almost got me into her control, but said something hit me like that. That's what broke him up. That's what made him come back. You understand? He'd like to get in and go with us now, but there's no way. Let's stand together. This is happening all over the country. We've got others that fell into traps. Others that fell into different situations that's come to me and made confessions that I knew before it ever happened. Told my wife. Talked with the brethren on cases I could talk with them about. It came just exactly like the Lord showed it. The very ones that had spirits that I warned and told them they had spirits. They didn't think it amounted to nothing, just rising up in church. Just rising up in church. But you go back and talk to them and ask them about all of them wounds that they got now. All of them battle scars that they got now. All them heartaches they got now. And you'll find out the little thing they thought wasn't so much amounted to a whole lot. If you see the sword coming and you don't warn the people, the blood will be upon your hands. Listen, folks. You listen real careful to me. When you feel a little twinkling like a raindrop running down your spine, that's not much, is it? Just a little old feeling. But you know who that is? That's Him that made heaven and earth and all therein. And you remember this, when you feel a little something run over you, that's just the opposite of that little something that was so heavenly. Let it be known unto you, that's the same one that tore down everything from the garden. It's just as real as the other, and it's just as serious as the other. If that little twinkle down your spine can take you to glory, that other little thing that run over you in hardness can take you to hell. You believe it? That's right. Let's bow our heads together.